断所知障之道次而证得佛果位，而讲说究竟一圣。所以佛陀的经典有两种，一个是讲说究竟一圣，一种是讲说究竟三圣。所以释迦牟尼佛他是随顺弟子的根器跟戒来讲说来说法，有这一点我们可以很清楚的知道。
Some sutras, scriptures, where the Buddha explicitly states that these three vehicles constitute final vehicles in themselves. So, in other words, that the vehicle of the Sravaka, the disciple, constitutes the final for some individuals for whom it is appropriate. The attainment of the final enlightenment of the self-realized one constitutes the final vehicle for some individuals, similarly for the Bodhisattva vehicle. However, in other sutras, in other scriptures, Buddha has also stated that the vehicles of the disciple and the self-realized ones do not constitute final vehicles, because even those who attain enlightenment of the disciples and the self-realized ones will eventually enter the Bodhisattva vehicle, and all beings will ultimately attain Buddhahood. So even within the teachings of the same one and the same teacher, the Buddha Shakyamuni, we find these conflicting statements with relation to three vehicles. So this is to underscore the point that I mentioned yesterday, that the Buddha taught his teachings in response to the need of specific particular individuals. For some, one set of teachings is more effective and beneficial. For others, the other sets of teachings are more effective and beneficial.
同样，慈氏菩萨的慈氏无论，比如在庄严经论时又有讲说到究竟三圣。他在宝性论的时候，他很清楚的讲说是究竟一圣。同样，在有讲，虽然是说者是一位慈氏菩萨，但是他所讲述的经典见解来讲，也有粗细的差别，那有不同的说法。同样的，无作菩萨他在宝性论的解释当中，他是以中观为主来做解释。那以菩萨地来讲，他是最主要是依据庄严经论的意趣而来解说。
By subsequent Indian masters, such as for example in Maitreya's five treatises of Maitreya, the five teachings of Maitreya, for example, Ornament of Mayana Sutras. In Ornament of Mayana Sutras, Maitreya explains the standpoint where the three vehicles are presented as representing final vehicles in themselves. However, in his Uttara Tantra or Ratnagotra Vibhaka, Sublime Continuum, Maitreya adopts the opposite standpoint, where the first two vehicles do not constitute final vehicles, and the Bodhisattva vehicle is the final vehicle. Similarly, in Asanga's writings, in his commentary on Maitreya's Uttara Tantra, Sublime Continuum, he explains the Maitreya's teaching primarily from the perspective of the middle way philosophy, the Madhyamaka school. However, in his own text, such as Bodhisattva Bhumi, Bodhisattva Levels, there the perspective he adopts is primarily that of the Chittamatra or the Yogacara school, as presented in Sutra Alamkara. So even in the writings of one Indian master, and we find different standpoints presented.
那金刚圣，那四序师部已经讲过了，那现在想到诸入二序圣者，那二序就主要讲外的四序，外事和内禅定这两者共同行之。 圣什么呢？岂有无生意生灭于世俗观色身？那就是如同昨天我们所提到的，就是把正的空性的心现为本尊，赖修具有真实事相之定。那这里有真实事相，那讲过洛德他业的解释里面有讲说到，就是自真实，还有他真实，还有念诵真实，还有禅定真实，或者不然就是身真实、心真实，或者是自机真实，或者是他机真实。那在大乘如来的时候，所谓他机真实的时候，是在指对身。那时候在观修大乘如来观修胸中的智，童子智，有时候要移开，然后再融入的这种观法。所以就是有是真实相，就是有两种不同的说法。
He gives two alternative readings of that. In the first instance, he identifies the four aspects to be the suchness of oneself, the practitioner, the suchness of the deity, which is the object of meditation, and the suchness of the mantra repetition, and then and the suchness of the actual visualization and the meditation. Or he says that these four aspects can also be understood as referring to the sound, which is the mantra, and mind, which is the meditative state, and then the self-generation, which is the generation of oneself as a deity, and then the generation of the other, which refers to the generation of deity in front of the practitioner. So these four aspects, the meditative absorption endowed with the four aspects, refer to these aspects, and it is through the combination of the meditative absorptions and the reliance on the external conditions such as rituals, and this particular form of yoga is achieved.
That 四步来讲，那自己是不是在思绪当中是不是有置身于前呢？那这有不同的说法，有一些争论。那在这个解释当中，我讲述到思绪一定要有置身的于前。那在其金刚序中有讲说到四步的修法，就是观想前面的本尊，然后观想得到他的加持。那反正四步的最主要的弟子，他一定要有去置身于切，他一定要修学自己现为本尊。譬如我们讲四部的六观， 的时候有讲到这个空天、升天、自天、色天，或者是向天、标直天。天的意思就是本尊的意思。那有讲说到六天的一些，那在其他的一些思绪当中的一种说法，就是观想本尊在前方，并不是把自己观想成为本尊，观想自己的本尊在前方，然后自己得到他的加持。所以以弟子，以四部的主要弟子来讲，他们有自胜于邪，但是非主要的这些次要的这些弟子，他们并没有修学自己为本尊的这种于邪，这种观修。
Generating oneself as a deity, but Khonsu Rinpoche explains that this must be understood in terms of the differences of the principle Kriya Tantra meditation and secondary practices, secondary deity practices. So in the principle Kriya Tantra, action Tantra meditations, and certainly one must have the meditation of generating oneself as a deity.And in the secondary practices of deity yoga in Kriya Tantra, then the blessing takes the form of visualizing the deity in front from whom one receives and imagines receiving blessing. But the principal tantras of Kriya Tantra must involve, must contain a practice where the practitioner himself or herself will generate into the deity. And so...and this is in agreement with the explanation of the Kriya Tantra found elsewhere, where there is an identification of six forms of deity yoga meditation in Kriya, such as the empty deity, the sound, focusing on the letter, in the form, and the signs or the hand implements.
赖修具有真实思想之定、知趣、因缘等二者而成。赖在西藏很多四部的坛城，还有本尊。那行部来讲，有大日如来等一两个本尊而已。那在日本有行部的大日如来本尊，还有瑜伽部的金刚界，非常的普遍。那日本呢的这些行者可能是中国的行者。
And the second tantra, which is the performance tantra or charya tantra, apart from Vairochana Adisambodhi, there are very few deity yoga practices in the Tibetan tradition. However, I've been told that in Japan, there are quite extensive charya tantra practices.Including Vairochana Adisambodhi and also Vajradhatu practices. And these two are very prominent in the Japanese tantric tradition, and which the lineage of which came, of course, from China.
那现在讲到瑜伽部，诸入瑜伽圣者见有二相。瑜伽圣有两者，外瑜伽能人续圣，内瑜伽者方便续圣。那这两者的差别在下面有讲说到。 输入外语一些能人序是什么呢？那在解释当中有讲说到，是如同师父跟行部一样，那最主要他也是很重视外面的洁净人士。那所谓的内瑜伽是什么呢？内瑜伽方便序是什么呢？是有修学二方二次第。那内瑜伽，一般所谓的瑜伽圣而言，它是最主要不注重外面的行为，然后注重内心的瑜伽。那时候他们只是在粗糙的心而去观修，并没有用原始之智而去转为道用的这种说法。那内瑜伽圣里面所讲说的就是靠方便，就是光明之心现为道用。那时候有讲说到心脉圆点的修持，那外瑜伽圣他也是要观待外面的这些洁净行，还有内心的修持。那所谓的内瑜伽者方便续胜，也讲说到，就是讲说到七脉明点靠这种方便使我们的粗糙之心消融，粗糙之心遮止压抑住熄灭，然后升起了细微的原始智慧。那靠原始智慧升起变成方便的修持，也就是内瑜伽。
The approach of the practitioners. So in the case of outer yoga, although unlike the action tantra, the kriya tantra and ubhaya tantra, the tantra of the both, here the emphasis is really on the internalyoga of meditative concentration and not on reliance upon external conditions and the ritual articles and so on. However, in common with the two lower tantras, in the outer yoga, still one does use these externalconditions such as rituals and ritual articles and so on, including the practices of purity,laws and so on. However, the emphasis is really on the internal yoga of meditative absorption. The difference is that in the outer yoga, the state of mind or the level of mind that is used in one's meditative absorption still remains on the gross level of consciousness. Whereas in the inner yoga, not only is the practitioner totally independent of dependence upon or reliance upon the externalmeans such as ritual practices and so on, but also the level of mind that is used in the meditative absorption is really the subtle one. Therefore, it is referred to as the method tantra, and method here referring to the methods and the techniques that are used in bringing about the experience of this subtle level of consciousness. And such methods include the yogic practices of focusing upon the channels and the winds, the energy, the prana, winds and so on, and the drops, the bodhicitta drops. And it is by employing these methods, such as focusing upon the channels and the energy, the prana winds, and also the bodhicitta drops, the practitioner brings about the experience of subtle level of consciousness, which is then utilized to engage in the meditative absorptions. So the difference really between the outer yoga and the inner yoga is really made on the basis of whether or not the level of mind that is used in the meditative absorption is a subtle or gross.
那在解释当中有说到，很清楚的说到，就是在无上密当中的法摄二身的不共之因的进取因，那有这种因的修法，那在外语写并没有这种的修法。你的解释是哪一本？是米旁仁波切的。那在这本论点有很多错字，不依靠无上密的不共道次，是无办法成道修行的果位。就是靠光明变成了法身，还有我们的靠本尊的瑜伽才可以来承办具足七结合之佛果位。那一般所谓的瑜伽，也就是方便智慧无二的意思。那以最主要以内瑜伽为主的，所以我们称它为瑜伽序。那这个分为两者，以粗糙心为主为瑜伽的，我们就称为外瑜伽域；光明心原始光明为修持的，我们就称为内瑜伽。它为什么是无上无上圣？因为果位的法身色身，它最主要是要靠原始光明才能够承办，光只是靠粗糙的粗糙暂时心，这些是暂时的，它是会止息的。那细微的原始知识，那为什么讲原始呢？本有之智呢？它是不会断的，它是从无始以来到现在，然后到成佛之间，它是不会断的。那粗糙的暂时心，它只是暂时的，要使原始光明为道，转为道用，然后变成一些种子的进取因，然后跟它无二的，与它无二的，瑜伽，然后靠这种瑜伽才可以承办色身之不共因。那这种修法只有在内瑜伽圣才有。那所谓的无上密，最主要是强调原始光明之序。
Yoga, it is only in the inner yoga where one finds the approach of the two stages, the generation and completion stages, which provides the method for the practitioner to the complete method for the practitioner to bring about the attainment of the two embodiments of the Buddha, the form body and the truth body, Dhammakaya and Rupakaya. And therefore he explains that in many scriptures, Vajrayana scriptures, there is explicit statement that it is only by relying upon the practices presented in the unique teachings of the highest yoga tantra, Anuttara Tantra, that one can attain the full enlightenment of Buddhahood. And therefore, highest yoga tantric practices are referred to as highest yoga, or Anuttara, or unsurpassed yoga, because they are unsurpassed in the sense that it is only in these teachings the complete methods or path for the attainment of the Dharmakaya and Rupakaya, the form body and the truth body of the Buddha are found. And the reason for that is because it is only in the highest yoga tantra teachings and there are methods explained whereby one can utilize the innate mind of clear light, the innate mind which is ever present, transforming that into the path. Because many of our grosser levels of mind, they are adventitious, they are occasional, they do not last. So they arise, they cease to exist, they fluctuate, and so they are occasional and adventitious. And the yoga that is cultivated on the level of gross levels of mind cannot really be lasting. So therefore it is incomplete. So in order for the yoga that is aimed at attainment of the two embodiments of the Buddhahood to be comprehensive and fully effective, that yoga must take place at the fundamental subtle state of one's consciousness, which is referred to as the innate mind of clear light. And it is in the highest yoga tantric text the methods for transforming the innate mind of clear light into the aspect of the path are explained. Therefore, these practices are referred to as yoga. And yoga means the indivisibility of method and wisdom. And so, however, the highest yoga practices are referred to as anuttara, which is unsurpassed, because it is only in these teachings the method for effecting the innate mind of clear light into a meditative absorption into a path are found. So therefore, Kongtul explains this very clearly in the text and makes the distinction between the outer yoga tantra and the inner yoga tantra along the lines of whether or not one finds the techniques and the practices for turning this innate mind of clear light into path.
输入于切胜者有二见，外于切能能虚胜内于切，则方便虚胜；出入外于切能能虚胜之见，则不已。此外，自须为主修无胜意，复诸某尊意，就是先现起无胜意之意，而现起本尊。这里并不是说。 无自性之本尊，是要靠无自性之智慧现其本尊，无生亦无尊机，也许下次是清净，须定圣者其身之适应。那这里有四境机，就是身口意识。 就是有能进他的法印有四者，一个是适应，一个是法印，一个是大印。那适应就主要是指事业，总之就是有十四个一切，一个我记不起来。 哦，对，第四个是业余且，不是是业印，那好像很复杂的样子。就是如果我念这个仪轨的时候，我们没有好好接收印的话，就等于说这个仪轨不圆满。那。 那我念诵的余切部的余这个仪轨文的时候，非常的困难。我要模仿一个人这样做，因为我自己不会做。总而言之，要靠这个 适应等这个四种所应，然后让自己的身口意还有业这四者尽除了不尽的东西，然后承办佛陀的身与意事业这四种。
Endowed with the four seals of a thoroughly purified mind. So this reference to the visualizing male and female deities that are devoid of ultimate origination and cessation is simply not a statement that these deities are by nature devoid of such origination and cessation, but rather the emphasis on the need to cultivate the understanding and realization of these deities as being devoid ofultimate origination and cessation as explained before. And it is this wisdom realizing the emptiness that is then imagined as arising as taking the form of a deity. And so in the outer yoga, which is the Charya Tantra, the meditative absorptions are endowed with what are called the four seals. And these four seals correspondto our body, speech, mind, and action. So it is the outer yoga practice is really modeled upon processes of purifying our body, speech, mind, and action. And in relation to these body, speech, and mind, and action, four seals are mentioned, which are the pledge seal, and the dharma seal, or reality seal,and the action seal, and the great seal. So, and it is through the meditative absorption endowed with these four seals, the yogic practitioner goes through the process of purifying body, speech, and mind, and action, and then attains, prepares the individual to attain the body, speech, and mind of an enlightened deity.The mudras are very complex. So, for example, there are very few experts who are, totally knowledgeable of these intricate hand gestures, the mudras. So, in fact, when I was giving the transmission of the teaching on Vajradhatu, which is a Acharya Yoga Tantra, the action, the performance tantra, I often... Yoga Tantra.
Yoga Tantra, 做的是。
The principal Yoga Tantra, I have to rely on an expert who is sitting next to me, and he will be guiding me so that I could perform the... So it's almost like he is shepherding me. So, because...
才是各级。
有一次，那早上的一个康大道士的康部，然后他坐在很旁边，那因为他坐在很旁边，所以我要看他怎么做，那我就一直头要转，一直转着看他，因为他坐在很旁边，所以那时候脖子很痛。后来就叫他坐在我的前面，我就很容易的可以看到他。
Asked him to sit in front of me so that I don't have to strain my neck.
Other
甚至其甚至适应以具有是应修之一切为主，而整诸路内一切则方便须圣者之见有三者，一如何圣行之理，二如何圆满这里三大圆满之理。那这里所谓的升起圆满还有大圆满，那这里的圆满跟一般我们升起之间圆满之理圆满不一样，那升起妈于一切，然后圆满安乐于一切，大圆满阿地于一切，跟这里所讲的不一样。一般所谓的升起跟圆满，升起圆满的有不同的案例，不同的学者有不同的说法，不同的案例。就譬如龙谦、龙清巴上师、龙清父子，他们有讲说现本尊还有空本尊，把它解释成为升起和圆满。那罗先达达摩西又有他的说法又不一样，就是升起升起这方面，现起这方面我们属于升起之地，那空的这方面他就把它讲说为圆满。那中国布达斯就是靠入了入住，然后中脉之后而让我们升起大乐，那这之后所升起的余邪才是圆满次第，那之前的次第是升起次第四五，升起次第是造作余邪，那圆满次第是未造作，是不造作余邪。那有这种升起次第和圆满次第的说法，那在此所讲的升起圆满之理，升起次第跟圆满次第之理是什么呢？那一个本尊的升起圆满之地来讲呢，有三种定。有讲到三种定，就是自性定，还有偏向定，还有因定。那这个是代表法身、化身、报身。那所谓因定，那时候有观想到种子智，那降到这个种子智降到坛城的中间，而升起了所有的眷属本尊。那观想这些本尊，就是圆满次第。那在身体上观想身体的本尊，所以这里的升起圆满还有带圆满的余且是不一样。头先是升起余且，头先是种子智观想种子智，那第二个是观想本尊是属于圆满余且，之前是升起余且，那带圆满余且就是观想本尊的收放，就属于带圆满余且。就比如说一个本尊余且来讲，它可以分为成修大成修一样，在这里同样是一个本尊余且，把它分为三种次第，升起次第、圆满次第，还有大圆满，跟一般我们所讲的升起圆满次第的内容不一样。
perfection. So here, in the commentary, Kong Tu explains that the distinctions between the generation completion and the great completion or great perfection here should not be confused with the general distinction between the Mahayoga generation and Anuyoga completion and Adiyoga great completion or great perfection, which is found in the general explanation of the Dzogchen teachings. So the distinction here is not the same, exactly the same as the one found in general explanation of the three stages of generation completion and the perfection, great perfection in Dzogchen teaching. And then Kong Tu in his commentary goes on to explain that generally speaking, between the two stages, the stages of completion and generation, there among the Tibetan scholars or Tibetan masters, there are primarily two standpoints. One is the standpoint of Longchenpa, the great Longchen Rangchenpa, and his disciples, according to which the completion stage and the generation stage is understood in terms of the aspects of a deity yoga meditation, where the aspect of the emptiness and the aspect of the appearance. The aspect of the appearance is relates to the generation, and aspect of the emptiness relates to the completion.
So,这里有讲到这个偏执父子，那偏执父子是指。 Longchen Rangchenpa 和前面08是指这两者。 那这里为什么讲父子呢？ 虽然他不是直接的弟子， 不是他的亲弟子， 那前面08 他在三业寺修学 修行的时候，他直接的见到这个龙千大师，而且是自己的正量大增得到加持，所以我们才讲说他们这两个是父子。事实上，景梅林巴并不是龙千巴大师的亲弟子。
Because it's a similar form of yoga practice, the yogic state, whereas the completion state is referred to as uncontrolled yoga, because it's So sometimes
这个三定的次第，第一个是真如定，第二个是片相定，第三个是因定。现在念诵本文，以如果升起之理，三种定次第升起后贪嗔意次第安止，必是修所成。如果圆满次第，生也无生灭之父母，尊也无分别意，众观法界，欲彼安住不善，也可以。我们现在讲无上密的时候，所谓的空性、真实意、生意，它的意思，它指的是两个意思，有时候是代表净，就是之前我们所讲的显密共同的见解。那第二个真实的意思，就是去除了生息的所有的分别心的无动不动，就不分别光明，我们可以把它称为明空无二，或者是了空绝空无二，或者是空乐无二。它这个就是我们最主要指的这个意思，就是这个。这里我们讲说，中观法界就是绝空无二的内涵。这里所指的中观，譬如高居派有讲说到绝空无二的道理，也就是所谓的大手印，他们最主要所指的意思是，那以萨迦派而言，他们讲说明空无二的道理， 那明是心的定义，空是心的体性。那在大圆满的时候有讲说到净觉了觉，那这个了觉无碍动彻，最主要是指内心的四大教派，他们的在解释见解的时候，最主要是他们的意趣是什么呢？最主要就是空明无二的见解，并不是了解空性而已，是了解空性的这个空正见而现起本尊，也就是所谓的片相定，就是于彼安住不善，就是不动不散乱，于世俗义明显说顺色身且平等不混杂，修而成大圆满之理，是诸事诸法无二，通达彼此原则，生于一坛成性而修此复如序中言。那这里讲说的是相成伴，相为本尊，就这些的清净法。那在显教的时候，我们讲说轮灭无二，同样龙树菩萨的论点也有讲说到轮灭无二的道理。那个所指的意思是对象净的空性，那内于且方便续者所指的，它最主要是强调原始光明，所有的我们看到的一些万法，那以密集金刚的法语来讲，他又讲说融入随顺，然后升起还灭的，就是所有我们的运界处的这些法都是靠业风，就是不清净的运界处都是靠业风而来，那业风是靠自信八十分别心而来，那这个是靠象征得三者而来，那象征这三者升起八十自信分别心，然后靠此就是靠这周再升起风，然后靠恶取之风而让我们造业而形成这个地球这个情气世间，那所有的融入的还灭的次第，就是我们的地水火风一个慢慢的消融融入之后，然后是它融入空，第一空第二空第三空，就是融入的，我刚刚讲错了，融入是随顺的次第，那升起的时候是还灭的次第，就一般来讲升起融入次第是象征德，那后来就变成德真相，那头先融入的时候是地水火风，那还灭的时候是转过来，就是他们不管是现起或是融入之处都是原始光明，所以轮回涅槃的这些作者创造者都是原始光明，所以这些法就是原始光明它所展现出来的，它所变化出来变现出来的，因此那这种原始光明，那我们在波罗蜜多的时候有讲说到自信涅槃，那同样的原始光明它是原始佛，它原始清净，它自己的本性就是原始光明，它本来就没有受到 污垢的，所有的果位的功德，就是身口意的这些功德，三密等佛果位的功德，都是靠居士光明所现出来的。在未成佛之前的不清净的蕴界处什么等等，也是靠圆明之智而所显现出来。所以说轮回跟涅槃是无二的。那不管是清净或是无漏之这些法，完全都是所有的原始光明所变现出来的，就是这些的基础都是靠原始光明，原始光明。那无碍的光明，无碍的了觉，那靠它而现起所有的法。金刚蕴之体称为无等觉，初界等多法菩萨贪嗔心地随眼魔魔集，我风白度母空界自在母三界是清净轮回涅槃诸法本来不生，原本就不生，并不是说他们不曾升起。这些全部法，这些法完全都是原始光明所变现出来。那所有的现起跟融入，都是融入到原始光明。也是我们讲说原始光明它是无为法，因为它不是靠暂时的因所生而灭，它是无始以来就有的，它是恒常安住。所以我们说它是无为法，事实上并不是真的无为法，本是有作用幻象，是如来父母等性故。我们这次信涅槃，就是我们所现起的这些相，看到这些东西是本来清净。万法即是自性涅槃，无大事无佛母性，无因事无不佛是世即是菩萨性，是母是美天女性，是根是菩萨性，是者是供养天女性，生根是净，即所生菩提心，是四分怒尊心，是断长断次句，是四分怒佛母心，意思是菩提心、金刚菩提心尽法有为与无为法事，法事母普贤母体心，彼等本已成正等觉性，非由现在修所成。就是自性涅槃，它并不是靠道所成立的、所修而成的。如是十方三世三界等有为无为万法，若外于自性则无。就是在显密共同的时候，我们讲说一切法三界为心造，那这里所讲的是所有一切法都是靠原始光明所展现出来所变化的。所以如是说，要自心个别即佛菩提心，亦是三界心大种等，亦而复说万法住心，心住虚空，虚空不住何处。又说，那这个虚空不是指外虚空，是指内之内空，也就是指原始光明。那原始光明它也是本来清净，所以想说虚空不住何处。又说万法自体空，万法本来清净，万法完全光明，万法自性涅槃，万法成正等觉，就是本来佛，此即大圆满也。
We read from the text, it's on page 35. The view of those who have entered the vehicle of the inner yoga, the Metta Tantra, is threefold. One, the mode of generation. Two, the mode of completion. And three, the mode of great completion. One, the mode of generation. The mode of generation is achieved by means of the meditative practice of gradual development of the three meditative absorptions, which were explained before, and gradual creation of the mandala. And then the mode of completion is achieved by abiding unwaveringly within the visualization of male and female deities that are ultimately devoid of origination and cessation, as well as the middle way of ultimate expanse, which is the non-conceptual truth, while on the conventional level, cultivating in perfect equanimity and unmuddled manner the form of the noble deity with clear visualization. So this reference to the ultimate nature of reality, referred to as the ultimate expanse here, should be understood in its proper context. Since we are dealing here with the context of highest yoga tantra, Anuttara yoga tantra, the references to terms such as ultimate expanse or the ultimate truth, paramartha satya, and vajradhatu, dharmadhatu, and so on, should really be understood within the context of, or according to the Anuttara tantra explanation. So here one needs to understand the ultimate truth and emptiness on the two levels. On one level, there is the objective emptiness, which is the emptiness and the ultimate truth as explained in the middle way philosophical texts, where we refer to basically the emptiness as it is understood in the perfection vehicle. So this is the object. However, the ultimate expanse or the ultimate truth in the Vajrayana context must also include the second dimension, which is the subjective dimension, the subjective experience of that emptiness. And here, it is not just referring to any other subject, but rather to a unique subject, which is the experience of that emptiness at the level of the innate mind of clear light. So it is this innate mind of clear light that realizes emptiness, which is also referred to as the ultimate truth and the ultimate expanse. So, and this is described as non-conceptual. This is described as a non-conceptual truth. And it is in this context one must understand the meaning of ultimate expanse in the context of Anuttara Yoga Tantra. So, and this is described differently in the different lineages. For example, in the Kagyu teachings of Mahamudra, sometimes this union of the objective emptiness and the subjective clear light would be described as the indivisibility of awareness and emptiness, Riktong Yerme. And in the Sakya teachings, it will be described as the indivisibility of the clarity, the luminosity, and emptiness. And because in the Sakya Lamdre cycle of teachings, clarity is understood to be the defining characteristics of mind, and emptiness is understood to be the nature of mind, and it's the union of the two that is understood to represent the ultimate nature of reality. So in the Sakya language, the Lamdre language, it will be described as Seltong Songjuk, the union of the clarity and emptiness. In the Giluk language, it will be described as the indivisibility or the union of bliss and emptiness. So emptiness is the objective emptiness, and the bliss here refers to the great bliss of innate mind of clear light. So in the Gelug language, it will be described as the union of bliss and emptiness. And similarly, in the Dzogchen language of Nyingma school, sometimes it will be, well, it will be, because the understanding in that Dzogchen tradition is the distinction between ordinary mind and a basic kind of Rigpa awareness. And there is a discussion of kind of a pure, a pristine cognition. So in the Dzogchen language, one will speak in terms of the reality being primordially pure, and its nature being that of compassion. So it's the union of that reality and compassion. So when the text speaks of ultimate expanse in the Vajra, ultimate highest yoga tantra context, referred to as the non representing the non-conceptual truth, one must understand the ultimate expanse in terms of the union of this emptiness as explained in the Madhyamaka writings, and also the subjective experience of clear light, and that is focused on, that is fused with that. And so, therefore, it explains that the origination and cessation, is, as well as the middle way of ultimate expanse, which is the non-conceptual truth. So this also alludes to the understanding of how entire phenomena comes into being, you know, as a result of the play of this, you know, ultimate expanse. So in the in the next stage, the text explains the mode of great perfection is to meditate on the basis of understanding all mundane and supramundane phenomena, or all worldly and transworldly phenomena, as being devoid of any differentiation, and to recognize as always having been present as the mandala of body, speech, and mind. So this, in the language of Guhyasamaja Tantra, one will understand the entire origination of all factors of both cyclic existence and nirvana as a kind of a manifestation of the activity of this innate mind of clear light. So as a sequential arising of the processes, or reversal process of dissolution. So, for example, in the Guhyasamaja Tantra literature, we find explanations of how the entire element of cyclic existence, of the afflicted world of samsara, are really kind of a product of the activity of what I refer to as activity of karma and the prana energies that are propelled by this karma, and underlying which are the activity of what I refer to as the 80 conceptions indicative of the various levels of consciousness. And these 80 indicative conceptions in turn are sort of grosser levels of manifestations of more subtle states of consciousness, such as the appearance, increase, red increase, and near approximation or near attainment, and these three subtle states of consciousness, which then give rise to the 80 indicative conceptions. These three subtle states in turn ultimately arise from the fundamental innate mind of clear light, which is the fundamental state of mind, which remains ever present and which is enduring. And from that point of view, sometimes this innate mind of clear light is also described as unconditioned by temporary causes and conditions. So in terms of its continuity, it is ever present. So sometimes it is described also as the unconditioned or unborn nature. So in the Guhyasamaja literature language, we find description of how the entire world of samsara and nirvana are in some sense can be seen as a play, a constant play or manifestation or kind of a resonance of the fundamental innate mind of clear light. And when seen from that point of view of clear light, then there is certainly no differences between, there is no distinctions to be drawn between samsara and nirvana, unenlightened or enlightened state. And so far as the equanimity of samsara and nirvana is concerned, we also find references to that even in the sutra teachings as well. For example, there is a passage in Maitreya's Abhisamaya Alamkara, Ornament of Clear Realization, where he talks about the equanimity of existence and the transcendence of existence, or tranquility. Similarly, in Nagarjuna's a fundamental wisdom of the middle way, we find explicit statements of the equanimity of samsara and nirvana. But in these sutra writings, the equality of samsara and nirvana are really understood from the point of view of the ultimate nature of reality and of being empty. But in the Vajrayana context, the equanimity or equality of samsara and nirvana has an added meaning of how all of the factors of both samsara and nirvana can be understood in some sense as a kind of a play, a constant play, or a manifestation of the subtle mind of clear light. So the text therefore goes on to state that it is stated in the Tantra, as for the limbs of the Vajra body, they are known as the five Buddhas, the sources and the numerous elements. They are the mandalas of the Bodhisattvas. Earth and the water are Lochana and Mamaki. Fire and wind are Pandaravasin and Tara. The space is Tateshvari. So the three worlds are primordially pure. So all phenomena of cyclic existence and nirvana are primordially unborn, yet they have the capacity for illusory function, as they have always been in the nature of the ten Tathagatas and their consorts. So this reference to the all phenomena of cyclic existence and nirvana as being primordially unborn doesn't imply that they do not come into being, you know, due to their causes and conditions. But this primordially being unborn refers to the perspective from the point of view of the innate mind of clear light. Then, because they are all in some sense kind of manifestation or effulgence of this innate mind of clear light. So in that sense, they can be referred to as unborn. And then we read, all phenomena are therefore naturally transcendent of sorrow. So here there is an indication that all phenomena are in some sense primordially pure, and this and sometimes also referred to as primordially enlightened, and they're primordially Buddhas. Now this reference is because so far as the fundamental innate mind of clear light is concerned, its nature is always pure. It is the afflictions and the various defilements coexist with it, but they do not penetrate into the essential nature of the clear light itself. So so far as the clear light mind is concerned, it is pure. So from that point of view, all phenomena can be that arises from it can also be described as being primordially pure and being in the nature of primordially Buddhahood. So therefore, we read, all phenomena are therefore naturally transcendent of sorrow. The great elements are in the nature of the five consorts, the five aggregates, the nature of the five Buddha families, the five consciousness in the nature of the four great bodhisattvas, the four objects, the four beautiful goddesses, the four senses, the bodhisattvas, the four temporal stages, the four goddesses, the bodily organs, the consciousnesses, the sensory fields and the bodhicitta drops arising from them, the four wrathful deities, the four extremes of eternalism and nihilism, the four wrathful female deities, the mental consciousness, the nature of Samantarabhadra, namely the indestructible bodhicitta. The objects of both conditioned and unconditioned phenomena are in the nature of Samantarabhadri, who is the receptacle of the creation of all phenomena. All of these, in turn, have already been in the nature of complete enlightenment. So this is as explained before. They are not acquired now by means of the path. So this refers to the natural enlightenment, which is the fundamental mind of innate clear light, because that is ever-present. That is not brought into being as a result of the path. Thus, all phenomena, conditioned and unconditioned, such as the ten directions, the three temporal stages, the three worlds, and so on, do not exist apart from one's own mind. So this reference to all of these not existing apart from one's own mind should not be understood in terms of the statement of the Buddha in the sutra context, where he talks about how all phenomena are one's own mind. But here, it's really referring to how all phenomena are manifestations of the innate mind of clear light. So then the text reads, it is stated, the clear understanding of one's own mind, this is the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. This constitutes the three worlds. This constitutes the great elements as well. Thus it has been stated, all phenomena dwell in the mind. The mind dwells in space, while space dwells nowhere. The space here does not refer to the external space that as we conventionally understand. The space here refers to an inner space, which is again the clear light that we have been speaking about. And since clear light is ever present, it dwells nowhere. Furthermore, to continue, all phenomena are devoid of intrinsic nature. All phenomena are thoroughly pure from the very beginning. All phenomena are thoroughly radiant. All phenomena are naturally transcendent in nirvana. All phenomena are manifestly enlightened. This is the meaning of great perfection.
Yeah. 一言以蔽之，所谓的智慧并不是指一般的智慧，是指原始智慧之相，并不是说自己所现的一般之相，是指原始智慧所现之相，因此凭住等法。 如果没有光明之心的话，就没办法现起轮回涅槃。那了解原始光明现起所有诸法，就可以真正的了解到智慧之相之道理。那我刚刚所讲说的。 在此有讲说，究竟的原始光明，靠它现起所有众生的蕴界处，前世的蕴界处，这些所有的东西，或是指融入光明，那到今世的时候再现起，从原始光明展现出来，变现出来。 那以究竟原始光明而言，它是不受污垢、没有受污染的。原始光明它本身要仅仅靠这个，然后成为法身而已，并不是靠外面的任何东西而变成法身。那龙树菩萨。 的摄行论，还有其他的论点，有讲说，有把原始光明命名为基础法身，因为它是法身的基础，所以我们说它是基础。那为什么说法身呢？ 因为它是没有受到任何的污染的，就比如说以混合来讲，在密集经文有讲到三种不同的混合，此时中阴，时有中有生有三种混合，那跟那个讲的内容是一样的。那这里有讲说靠光明升起三相。 然后再升起八十自性分别心，然后再升起烦恼，靠烦恼造业。 让所有的众生升到个别的深处人天等地方。那这些东西都是靠根本的原始光明而来。那关于他深奥的这个道理，我们要去阅读密续的这些大论点。那这里面所提的就是我刚刚所讲说的，不是这样吗？
This transcendent wisdom, we should not understand it any in terms of just any other form of jhana or wisdom, but rather we must understand in terms of jhana or wisdom at the level of clear light, the mind of clear light. And similarly, when we find references to the term resonance, self-resonance of something, we should not understand it purely in terms of a resonance of anything, but rather resonance of that innate mind of clear light. And then he goes on to explain that in the Dzogchen literature, sometimes the clear light is described as being that of unconditioned. And here, Khonsu Rinpoche points out that this meaning of unconditionedness is not the same as characterization of permanent phenomena as unconditioned, such as the mere absence of something. Like the, so space defined in terms of the mere absence of obstruction, that is an unconditioned phenomena. So this is not the meaning of unconditionedness in the context of Dzogchen explanation of unconditionedness. Unconditionedness here refers to the clear light mind being unconditioned by any temporary causes and conditions, fluctuating adventitious causes and conditions. And then he goes on to, in the commentary, goes on to really substantiate Khonsu Rinpoche's own understanding of these teachings and the concepts by citing from Saraha, the great Indian yogi, and also a citation from an earlier tantra, an old translation text, and then also from another tantra known as the Tuya Tigle, a drop of liberation or a liberating drop. This belongs to a new translation tantra, in all of which an explanation is given how the emergence and the evolution of the entire phenomena of cyclic existence and nirvana can be understood as manifestations arising from the innate mind of clear light. And so then Khonsu Rinpoche then refers to the explanations found in the Guhya Samaja Tantra, as explained before, how the entire process of the coming to being of cyclic existence can be understood in terms of the function of the activity of the 80 indicative conceptions, which arises from the three subtle states of progressively subtle, grosser states of consciousness, which are referred to as the appearance, increase, and the near attainment, all of which arises from the innate mind of clear light. And it is the arising and the dissolution of from this innate mind of clear light, one must understand the origination of the cyclic existence, samsara. And then Khonsu Rinpoche goes on to explain that when we say that the entire phenomena are manifestations or play of this innate mind of clear light, one does not need to prove that all objects such as vase, pillars and everyday objects are somehow manifestations of this. Rather, the meaning here is that insofar as the individual sentient being is concerned, his or her experience of the entire world of phenomena really arises from this process. It is from the karmic actions, the prana winds, activity of the prana winds give rise to progressively grosser levels of consciousness, which then culminate in the eight indicative conceptions, which then culminate in afflictions, which then motivate the individual into action. Then the action sets in the whole chain of causation within the cyclic existence. So it is in this manner, so far as the individual himself or herself is concerned, the entire cosmos, in fact, are really functions of the innate mind of clear light. And then this is, particularly, so here we can understand, if you look at the language of the Guhya Samaja Tantra, there is an understanding because of this, the innate mind of clear light sometimes is described as the basic Dharmakaya, or foundational Dharmakaya, or basic Dharmakaya. And the language of basic Dharmakaya suggests that the whole process is understood in terms of some kind of analogous process of the arising of the three kayas, the Buddha body of reality, Buddha body of perfect enjoyment, Buddha body of perfect emanation. And these also have correlations to, even in our day-to-day experience of the periods of waking state, the period of sleeping, deep sleep, and also dreaming. And because of this, in these tantras, we find specific practices, meditative practices, which are aimed at mixing, the so-called mixings, mixings during the waking state, mixings during the sleep state, and mixings during the dream state. So if you understand these processes, then you will understand what is meant by... the waking state, sleep, the state, the sleep state.
那三种混合是指就是醒时的混合，还有睡时的混合，还有死时的三种，死时的混合。那从境上而言，我们有自信涅槃或无住涅槃。那自信涅槃，所以这些不清净法有轮回之法，它是本来就清净，它没有自信，所以它是自信涅槃。那所以无智涅槃是具二种清净之，它本身是自是即心涅槃，然后再加上它去除课程的这些清净，所以是具二清净的涅槃，所以是究竟的这个清净。那这是以境上来解说，那以有境上来解说，就是只要有污垢的话，那就是自信之智，那断除的远离的污垢，那就是极清净的智慧。就是原始光明，其实它在轮回的当下，它本身也没有什么污染。那当它断除了这些污染的时候，完全的远离污染的时候，就是极清净之智慧。那它本身，我们就称为是自信的智慧。Thank you.
purified all the defilements which are the advantages of the group of the defilements, then one attains the divine by the will of the Buddha, the will of the of Buddha. In a similar manner, in the Vajrayana context of piety or tantra, sometimes there is a language of the naturally pure wisdom, naturally pure jhana, and thoroughly pure jhana. So naturally pure jhana or wisdom refers to the innate mind of Kriya that we all naturally possess, because the essential nature is unpolluted. So from that point of view, it's naturally pure wisdom. And once the individual, through the practice of the heart, gains total liberation and then Buddhahood, then at that point, not only is the clear-eyed mind of the individual pure, but also the individual is free of all the advantages, defilements. Therefore, at that point,
this individual's innate mind of clear light can also be referred to as the thoroughly pure wisdom or thoroughly pure jhana. So such languages are found also in the Vajrayana literature.
Gahaya.
Mm-hmm. 到此为止。